Hey, this is the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast, and this is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions.
Joined by Alfonso, our host. Hey, Alfonso.
That's the award-winning Alfonso, by the way.
The award-winning
Speaking of that, I just want to go on the record. Mike lost followers because he does not like award winners.
Be careful.
And
what
I
you
think
ask for.
He misspoke.
I received an award myself for the most lost followers in a week.
That's Alfonso.
No,
that's
yeah.
Sorry.
You better not take my award, Alfonso.
Can you beat 11?
You know, but Mike, why don't you just kind of reiterate so you can get your followers back? What do you mean by that? Because you said what I heard was, I don't like people that get awards. That's what I heard.
That was clear and definitive to me.
Yes.
No, it's not. No, it's... It's not people that get awards. It's people that market themselves as an award winner.
So you're okay. They celebrate getting awards. But
yeah.
Just
no, totally. No, like if you're getting an award and
like
you're getting
Emmy
a picture
or a fake
with
Tony.
It. Yeah, you're then. Yeah, get your picture with it. Celebrate it. But I'm talking about when people are marketing themselves. Like,
I see.
I don't know, because I'll see this from time to time. You'll see like a social media ad come on and say like, you know, making up a fake name, like, I don't know, Bob Smith, which, well, Smith, that's Bob Smith. That's got to be a real name somewhere.
Yeah, probably is somewhere.
But I don't know Bob Smith, and I'm sure he's won no award. In Vietnam.
Yeah.
But when they say this, like, Bob Smith, an award-winning songwriter, I don't know. Every time I'm like, am I supposed to know what award he won? Am I supposed to suddenly, hey, Bob won an award. We're going to go see this guy. Nathan. You want to go see Phantom of the Opera, or you want to go see Bob Smith? Because I saw that he won an award. I don't know what award. I don't know who gave it to him, but he won an award. So we should maybe let's go see that instead.
I'd probably go Phantom.
But Bob Smith won an award.
I'll be who's Bob and what award?
Well, I don't know, but he's on a banner. So
Phantom, it is.
Screw you.
Sorry.
We're going to go see Bob Smith and his award.
Okay,
and then
fine.
He's going to follow me.
Yeah. Okay. So the moral of this story is, follow Mike back because he didn't mean that you can't have awards and celebrate.
No, I just, I wonder,
even though that's
like,
what I heard.
Why do people market themselves as an award-winning, like, if nobody knows about this award, if nobody knows
right.
what, you're not even telling what the award is. It's not like you, I mean, if you won a Tony, that's different. Tony award winner, you're telling the name of
go.
The award that you won.
It gives, like, at least a context.
Yes, it gives context, but just award-winning.
Okay, well, I'm glad
I'm still annoyed by it.
I'm glad we clarified that, though, and please follow Mike back.
I don't think
so
he clarified it. I think he kind of doubled down.
No.
I doubled down on it.
Also, it's really hot today, the weather. I mean, you might be in other countries that are way hotter, but if you hear a fan going, it's not my mouth, it's actually a fan.
No, that actually was you making that noise.
Oh,
I watched
me.
You do it.
Oh, crap. That was me, but there's actually a fan, just so you know if you hear any hum. But it's okay. What's our topic today? I'm excited.
What is the topic today?
Yeah, so, interesting one today.
Oh, great. I'm not excited anymore.
I'm going to get you guys in trouble with this one.
Oh.
No, seriously. Here we go. I think I've been really lucky lately because I've gotten to step on the other side of production. Not on stage, but as the assistant director. So I've gotten to see some of the challenges that you two have had to deal with for many years.
Alfonso, the award-winning assistant.
The award-winning assistant to the director, yes.
To the director.
Yes.
You got a lollipop.
Yeah. So what I've noticed just in my very, very, very small time assistant directing is that a lot of the problems don't come necessarily from the talent itself. It comes from the relationship between the director and the actor. Sometimes there's a disconnect. And as a director, how true is that? What do you do to correct that? And yeah, let's just start with those two. How do you correct that?
Well, I guess my first question would be, in that situation is wanting to know where the disconnect is from, like what is making it.
So let's just say they don't quite understand. Let's just say generally your vision. They book the role, and then you're standing on stage with them, and you explain, this is what I would like you to do. And then that actor says, I don't understand or agree with that. As a director, what's the most effective way to deal with that?
I definitely wouldn't want to have that conversation in front of everybody else. I mean, I'm totally, absolutely fine with that conversation, like if they pull me aside before or after rehearsal, Or even, I mean, and they could say that in front of everybody, like, hey, I don't understand. Could you clarify? But the I don't understand and I don't agree. That's not the time or place in the middle of rehearsal to have maybe that discussion. Or at least, you know, worded that way. I guess there's different ways they can word that. If they really say it like that, I don't understand and I don't agree with you. They could say, hey, I'm not quite seeing your view, but would I be able to try it this way? I think that would be a far better way to word something like that, far more diplomatic of saying the same thing. Because it's, man, when you do something like that, it's almost, you say that to a director. If you say something insulting like that or something that's going to maybe shake their director platform, you make it so that they have to respond. It's like somebody throws down the gauntlet like that. That may be anywhere from mild to severe, depending on, you know, what the attitude they're throwing at. But if you do that there in front of everybody, it's almost forcing the director's hand. You got to respond to that.
You have to address it, right?
Yeah. So, but if you could just work, you know, a bit on the way that you say it. As long as it comes across, I mean, everybody's got different opinions, and that's awesome. That's part of what I want to see there. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, I got a director's vision, but my vision includes these actors being creative.
Yeah, and I'm going to let Nathan answer this, and I think it's great, actually, for an actor to come and have strong opinions on what that character is and what they see for it. But yeah, that being said, Nathan, how do you approach a situation like that?
Well, I'm gonna go back a little bit, then I'll go forward. The first part I think that actors and production teams should think about is the fact that the director has had this show probably a year or more longer than you even knew audition dates. They've already invested in a vision, and they already have an idea for it, and then hopefully the directors had instilled that into the production staff. So then it's a cohesive vision. The actor's job is to, whether they like this or not, the actor's job is to convey the production team's vision for a show, period. Now, what Mike said, I love, and you could ask any actor, actress, and this is something I'll touch on at the end. They've come to me, there's a certain lady I'm referring to right now. She'll come up to me and say, hey, Nathan, I was thinking to try this accent and do like a shoulder drop here for this character. And 9 times out of 10, and honestly, 10 times out of 10, I'll probably go, try it, let me see. And if it looks weird or I'm not feeling it, I'll let you know. But 9 times out of 10, I go with them because it's going to be a natural response. And the audience, on the audience's vision to hear and feel what they're conveying, if it comes across as authentic, I'm probably going to lean towards and go, yeah. And maybe I'll finagle and go, hey, I love the accent, but can you not do the dip walk or whatever it is? But 9 times out of 10, I'll go, let's try it. The thing that I need and I constantly have to work on, and I've directed blah, 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 amount of shows. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. The thing that I need to work on is when's enough enough, though, where I start to go, okay, it's been 52 times or 5 times or 7 times that you say, I don't like this. I don't get it. At what point do you, and this is right, this is a true struggle I have. Where do I go? I understand you don't get it. However, you need to create what I'm asking now. That's it. We're done. We got to move on. We're running out of daylight, literally. And sometimes I think that can become across as harsh. And I do apologize to people, and I have, where I get snippy or I get tunnel vision and go, hey, we got to move. Sorry. Let's keep going. I'll talk to you later about it. But I think I'm always eager and willing, as Michael said, to allow the actor to express what they feel would be right. But just remember, I probably had the vision long before you even knew the show was on the table. And I know you've watched YouTube. I know you've watched other shows. And the reason you came out for the show is because you want to play a role that you've seen done before. However, ultimately, it's the theater company's vision for the show. Ultimately. Now, I don't think I would do Mary Poppins and everyone come out in chicken costumes and do it. But ultimately, you have a right to do that, and then people could walk if they want to. now your job as a director is to try to bring uniformity and create art together. And if you're not doing that, you're failing. So there's a balance there. But I think I answered the question.
We'll do a vulnerable moment.
Okay.
That I think enough time has passed that we could talk about this.
Am I going to cry?
No, this was on me.
Okay,
this
good. All right, go ahead.
No, this was, do you remember when we did Godspell? Mm-hmm. And you had asked me to, and I was acting with it was actually your first show at your new site,
our venue. Yeah.
Your first show there, and we were doing Godspell, and I was in the cast that time, mm-hmm. and I was filling in for somebody, and so I didn't have a whole lot of rehearsals.
No, I honestly think you only had maybe a week max, and it was like four rehearsals.
But one of the and that was something, Alfonso. I was walking in, and I did not know a lot of the cast, and I was walking in, to help you out there.
Yes, you're doing me a favor.
It was, and I say that just because Godspell was not. I mean, I know that music. I like that music and everything. But it wasn't a show that I had planned to audition for or anything. So I didn't know the music. It was like I was walking in with a group that was already very established, and filling in for. I was doing Judas.
Yeah.
Right.
Alfonso's actually playing that coming up.
Oh, sorry.
I'll be referencing that. The award-winning performance.
Go
ahead, sorry.
But, so initially, you had asked me to play my guitar in one of those songs.
Yes.
And
On the Willows.
Yeah, On the Willows. And I was trying that, and it wasn't working out. But, the more it didn't work out, the more I wanted it to work out.
I remember.
And it was like, at first I came in, and you were like, hey, maybe you could play your guitar for it. But it was... I don't want to fail at this. Mm-hmm. So it became like I'm determined. I'm going to get this down. And it wasn't so much a matter of playing the song. It was a matter of playing the song, getting it to where it sounded good and where the actors could also sing along with it and also
harmonize
and do their choreography, yep. and stuff like that. So everything, the pacing, it just, and I wasn't getting it. And then you came to me you want to recreate that conversation?
Not really.
but this was one of those things where we had a disagreement, and I was the actor and Nathan was directing, and he had to tell me that the guitar wasn't working. And then all of a sudden, though, I was embarrassed, because even though it wasn't a lot of time, it was like, just crunch rehearsal time. I mean, I'm looking back and I'm like, why was I even trying that? That was like way too much for a week to try to get in there and actually, do that. But I didn't want to fail at that. And right. I didn't want the cast to come in and like see me as like, oh, this guy, he didn't get it. So,
because you're an amazing guitarist. You're super, I mean, you're good at it. So for it to not be working was pissing you off.
It was.
I remember.
Well, and it wasn't just that, but I knew I was causing, a weak link, because that we weren't able to practice that. So, I mean, like you said, we're losing daylight here.
Right.
I wish I could freeze time, but when I would try it, honestly, the cast wasn't able to practice correctly like they would have if it was going to a track or an orchestra or, something like that that had been, that knew the stuff. And so Nathan's like, hey, it's not going to work. And... So, luckily, we knew each other well enough that he did something nice for me here. So we sat in the audience. I had I was out there with the rest of the cast, and I had my guitar, and I was like, Nathan, can I ask you something before we start? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I know you wanted me to play the guitar. I feel like could we try it with the tracks? I mean, I just feel like I'm not quite getting it. He's like, well, if you want to do that, fine. But
Was that a pre-planned conversation?
No, it wasn't pre-planned, but you went with it. I think you saw right away where I was going with it. And it just made me feel a bit like, a little bit less of a failure.
But if you remember, we also sat there without tracks, and I let you just play, and I just let us freestyle to what he was playing. I said, don't worry about the parts, and this, like, the day before... I knew we were cutting. I said, I just want to do this and just kind of create like a kumbaya, like campfire moment. Mike was strumming. It sounded great. It just, when you added the harmonies and it just, and some of the cast were new with Mike. There was two other people that were also new that could not get their harmony with the guitar. And I remember one thing that it made me sad, but I was also like, when Mike's like, well, I've been working on it. You, like, I've been working hard to get this and you're just telling me no. And he wasn't like mad, but I could see the defeat. So when he said out loud, hey, you know, Nathan, I know you really want to try with the guitar, but it would be okay. My first thought in my brain going, you know what, that's fine. We could try that. I mean, yeah, we could try it. Let's try it. I mean, it was a cool moment. But the reality is I did care about the actor in the moment. Of course, I like a guitar.
Yeah.
I would like flying doves. You know, like, no duh, I want stuff. But also what's best for the show. But also, I wanted Mike to feel, because the problem is he was focusing on that one element, and this is, time has passed, but he was missing out on the success of what he just accomplished in a week. He wasn't getting the success or value that work because he was so focused on a myopic, a small aspect of that. He was missing out on the bigger picture of how epic he was doing and how good he was because he couldn't get past the moment. So my job was to go, hey, you're doing good things, bro. And you do that as a friend, and as a friend, I cared about that naturally. But as a show, what's best for the show and what was best for him as a performer was for him to forget about that and shine in the things he was doing well.
And that is really true. Like, I was having a real hard time getting past that. I mean, you know, we'd get to that point in the song, and I'd be like, okay, here, or that point in the show.
You get clammy. And, like, I watched you.
I'd be like, okay, here it is. And I think, you know, it's the reality that I'm stepping in. I basically was kind of stepping in at Tech Week, I think.
Yeah.
Or somewhere like that.
It was way late.
So it was like, yeah, it really was not the time to be experimenting. It was the time to be solidifying and cementing things. But then there's also that part that's like, you know, come on, I know, give me one more day and I can get it. I can get it. I know I can do this. And then, you know, you hit the realization. It's like, you know what? I think you got to let this go. I mean, Nathan is saying, like, you know, I've got the whole rest of the show to think about, and I'm fixated on this 1 3-minute segment.
I know what really made you mad, and we didn't talk about it. It was like prior conversation before we were going that route. I did say to him, I was like, how about we, I think I didn't say air guitar it, but I said, just hold the guitar like you're strumming. He's like, what? Like, it was a quick pass, and I instantly was like, I'm just kidding. But at first I wasn't. I was trying to find compromise, but I was like, anyway.
Well, if I held it where, like, I was strumming, where would the sound come from?
It would have still been tracked. I was just trying to give the guitar to him, and it was dumb, but I was trying to find compromise, but it was stupid. But anyway.
And you know what? I think that speaks to the relationship that you guys have, though, that director-actor relationship. It was strong enough to where it's like you guys can privately say, hey, this is the situation. How are we going to do this in a situation where it's like you, as a director, Nathan, right there, how am I going to do this to where it's not going to kill his morale, the cast morale, and to where Michael still feels valued because he is putting that work in. And that was done because of that strong relationship you guys had and that communication. When there's a breakdown in communication, it can go the opposite way. And you're going to get a resolution for the problem, but it's going to be much more chaos with it.
Well, I'll speak on me.
Yeah.
I carry that personally. Like, I felt, and I'm not just saying this to say, well, I'm a whiner, woe is me, or look at me go. I carried that defeat he was carrying became my pressure too. So when I watched the show, and even after we opened and he didn't get to do it, I was like, man, I failed. I carried that loss. But then I also had to turn a page and go, what loss? Look what he's doing. This guy's freaking shining right now. And the cast had better chemistry and everyone was cohesive. But that, I think, I assume, and I don't know, I can't speak for actors all the time or actresses, but I don't think they realize that directors really do, at least I'll speak for me and I know Mike, we do love and root for you. When you hurt or don't feel like you're succeeding, we carry that. Like, we feel that, really. And our job is to put a Band-Aid on it or to spray some, like, Neosporin or something on it. You know, like, that's our job. and we carry that weight. I really do feel that way. And I sometimes think, because you're worrying about, as an actor, the threads coming out, will your book be on the table? Those matter. But I'm worrying about you bleeding out your kidney, you know, like, how do I triage this right now so we even open the show, you know? Anyway.
And you know what? I mean, to Alfonso's question earlier, you know, about the relationship and, you know, things that I could have done. Let's put this into perspective of other actors who have disagreements with the director. I could have gone to the other cast members and been like, Nathan's so dumb, he doesn't know this. I'm going to get this. If he just gives me one day, he doesn't know what he's going to miss. I didn't, you know.
And that happens.
There are those actors. Yeah, I've had it happen to me, too.
They build an alliance. You're like, what are you doing? I'm on your team.
I haven't been doing this very long, but it's happened to me.
Yeah.
Well, Alfonso, I forgot to tell you, I unfollowed you.
Oh, well, that makes it 12. The Baker's dozen or a dozen.
But, I mean, there's that where, you know, they can go and stir up, you know, just start talking with the other actors, and or there's the all right, Nathan, you want that? You're 2 days away from opening. Let me do the guitar or I'm out. Who are you gonna get? You know, and you see that sometimes, and you're just like, come on, are you serious? I'm trying to do you a favor. What you're trying is not working out with the whole show. You're gonna look better this way. Mm-hmm. Just let it go, man. Let the ego go right here. And so those are the kind of things, like, when you run into those situations, and you will, at some point, you're an actor, you will get told something that maybe you're not seeing eye to eye with the director. And it's like, let it go. Don't go talk to the other actors about it. Like, don't just let it go. Enjoy the ride, enjoy the experience, enjoy the relationships. If it's really that hurtful to you that you're still upset about it after the show ends, then don't work with that director again. Yeah. But man, don't go and stir up controversy. Don't start gossip. There's nothing that kills a show quicker. I mean, you're worried about the show succeeding. I mean, or put it back to me. If I would have been worried about so worried about that guitar succeeding that I went and stirred up stuff with the rest of the cast and destroyed the show in, like, all the other aspects.
Right.
Horrible.
Yep.
Like, don't do that. You want a good relationship with the director? Don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You asked a question just about directors and relationships. I'll even speak on that on a different level, on a personal level. It's hard for me to, as a director, it's hard for me to have authentic friendships. That's hard for me because sometimes it feels circumstantial. And just with likes and views or people like engaging in you, and then when auditions go away or then they don't get a part they want, then you don't hear from them again. And it's hard to know what's authentic, what's an authentic friendship. So sometimes I'm very cautious and I get nervous and go, should they be my friend? Are people going to think they're not earning their roles? Are people going to think that I give them handouts? When, hands down, I don't. Girls, family, friends, besties, doesn't work. I don't do it because as soon as I cross that line, I'm screwed with my own integrity. I don't care what other people think. I'm screwed on my own level that I think. But it's hard to have authentic friendships in theater sometimes as a director or a producer because you're like, are you really my friend? And sometimes, and I don't want to sound like morbid or like a woe is me, but it's the latter. Like you end up finding out they're actually not really your friends. Like someone unfriends you because you don't get cast in a show or whatever. Were you ever really my friend? It's not a friend level. It's like that hurts though. And I'm a human. I go, well, that sucks. I thought we were actually friends. Remember we hung out? Like, remember we played video games? Remember we went for long walks on the beach? Remember that? Like, whatever. But that's okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. Not really. But that's hard. That's hard to have that relationship as a director. Do I get to go drink after a show or party after a show with the cast? Not always, because I can't let my guard down because then I'll be judged or they'll go, Nathan said that. Nathan does that. Oh, wow. He hangs out with only those four people. So I'm very cautious of that. I also want to be, is the word inclusive? I want to include people to go have lunches, no matter who you are. If you like video games, you like Pokemon, you like Disney, you like old black and white TV shows, whatever. I try to be inclusive of that, but it's hard to actually have an authentic friendship sometimes. So that's a hard dynamic that I don't think cast members think about. They're quick to say, oh, like you, Alfonso, we're pals. And sometimes I know, and I've heard, I've read emails, I've seen text. Oh, it's because they're friends he gets to do that. No, because he's putting the work in. He's earning it. He puts prep in for auditions. And I'm not just saying because you're in the room. I have other friends that are the same way. And I've had past girlfriends that have put the work in. And the best example is when they get the roles and they prove right. Oh, shoot, that's why he got it or she got it. Ding, 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 ding. That is why.
And you know what's funny? I think that I think people think that word like that doesn't get back to even that performer, like somebody like me, if I have to deal with like that narrative of, oh, you're, it's not earned. But the reality is, just like you said, you're not giving handouts to anybody, including your closest friends, your family.
I'm so harder on them.
If you're closer to them, I know personally that when I go into an audition, I have to be doing it even more. I have to do it 110% because if I show up at 99%, it's just, that's going to be no. It's not going to be good enough. It's what's known. What I've put out there is what I've put out there. That's the expectation and more each time. And if I'm not meeting that, I'm not going to get any favors.
If you're not meeting that, if you're not willing to grow, I won't have it. Yeah. Like I just, because I have to back it up. And I unfortunately know I'm going to get those text, emails, gossip trains that come to me and go, oh, he's not proven to them. This is his baby. This is what he's got. Come on, buddy, step it up. I'm harder. And my dad was a teacher, and he used to say all the time, a kid would throw a piece of trash on the ground, and back in the day of the Christian schools, they made you do labor. They would go pick up 25 pieces. If I did it, I'd be picking up my whole recess. And my dad's like, you got to set an example for me. Why? Just because I'm your son? That's not fair. Well, you got to set an example and show people that I'm not showing favoritism. And unfortunately, I'm like, dang, Dad, you were right. Like, you just do it. My kids, I'm the same way. When I'm coaching or when I help coach, I'm harder on them because I want them to be the best so then I don't have to try to justify anything. Anyway, I want to tag on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So just the last thing I'll touch on then, you want to build that trust with the actor. You have him in that room. You have him in there for that first rehearsal. What are you doing as a director to build that trust where they feel comfortable coming to you and having that conversation? Mike, I'll start with you there.
Well, I think one of the first things that you can do is let them know that that's an option. You know, invite them to do that. So, you know, if you have things that you want to try, if you there's some character directions that you're feeling, you want to try it. You've got some stuff on impulse. If you want to do that, or you feel differently against a piece of direction I'm giving you, come see me. We'll talk about it. Just let them know right off the bat, you are welcome to have that talk with me. I will listen to you, but not during rehearsal time in front of the other cast. And if it's a no, you got to respect that no. I was, you know, thinking of it in terms of like, let's say that they're, you know, you're looking at a whole picture here. And if somebody comes in and they're an award-winning painter and, but they can paint a cactus and they can, like, you know, a desert cactus, and you look at it and like, that is the most amazing cactus I have ever seen in my life. That is a really good cactus. And they're like, I want to bring you the cactus. But the problem is you're doing it like in the forest, in the snow, and there is no cactus. It's like, that is a great cactus, but it's not fitting in with the picture. This is not what we're doing here. And they're like, but it's so good. I'm not arguing that. It's amazing. It's really, really good. But the overall picture that we're making, it's going to stand out. People are going to sit there and they're going to wonder, why is that cactus there? What's that doing there? That doesn't fit. And that's the thing with actors that I think directors just really wish that they would always be able to focus on. The same thing that we're focused on is the big picture. The same thing that Nathan had to be focused on when I was focused on wanting to play that guitar. It's the big picture of it all.
Yeah, I think Mike started with the first thing he said, setting that parameter right away at orientation or the first day of blocking, say. And I think I kind of do this on purpose. I tell the cast I'm going to skeleton block. It's not out of laziness. It's to give the actor a lot of freedom to create so they have some ownership in it. I tell you where to go, where to come from. And sometimes I'll have specifics like, hey, I need you to be sad here. I need you to drop here. I need you to look away. Give that to the audience. There's certain times when I'm blocking. You know this. There's certain times of blocking that I'll be specific, but I leave the room open. So then you get to create with a little bit of narrative that I give that you get to create and make it your own. So I give you permission right away, and I try to set the parameter right away going, hey, if you have a problem or if I'm going too fast, let me know. Take me aside and talk to me. Don't call me out in front of a whole group or yell at me and tell me something. Talk to me. And most of the time, like I said before, 9 times out of 10, I'll be like, yeah, try it. Let's see what you got. Even if I'm just saying that and I go, I know I'm going to want what I want, I'm still eager to see what you got because I'm not doing you any favors, not letting you be creative. Because in the future, I want you to come back and be better and use your creativity. If I shut down and choke out your creativity, what good are you in the future?
But it's about how you use that creativity, right? It's less about how do I get what I want and more about how am I going to make this work better for everyone.
Yep.
Right? So,
team.
John's giving me the lasso, so I think that's going to be the end for us for this episode. So for the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast, this is Alfonso.
And this is Michael.
And Nathan, later.
Catch you next time.
See you guys next time.